The Biden administration this week announced plans to implement new safety standards aimed at protecting workers from extreme heat. The effort is being described as a whole-of-government one and is expected to include several federal agencies and departments, including OSHA. Last month, we told you about a report that found extreme heat could cost Arizonans more than $2.5 billion in lost wages by the middle of the century. That study advocated for the kind of federal heat protection standard the White House is talking about now. To find out more about the Biden administration's plans, I spoke earlier with White House National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy and asked why the White House is taking on this issue now.
You know, put in simple terms, heat stress is really the silent killer of climate change. So the challenge we face is twofold here. You know, unlike the wildfires and the hurricanes, we need to get visibility on this issue by everyone in the country so that they understand that while it may not look and feel as damaging or as threatening as those other climate-related impacts, heat matters. People die from heat. And so it's really important, I think, for us to do two things. One, bring visibility. That's what we're trying to do. But the second issue, and the one that's critical, is that we are taking action on it now across the administration. We are launching a series of efforts that are going to help use the resources of the federal government, match that with the creativity at the state and local level, and start addressing this issue to keep people safe, to keep our workers safe.
So what do those efforts look like?
You know, we moved forward with a terrific rulemaking process at the Department of Labor. We are going to move forward to have basically a regulation on how much heat is healthy to be exposed to for our workers. We're going to set that standard. In the meantime, we are going to enforce and think about compliance differently at the Department of Labor so that when complaints come in, we're going to immediately react to those. We're going to start educating our businesses and our workers on how to protect themselves. We're going to start opening up and thinking about working with communities to have cooling centers in every school so that they'll be available. We're going to launch a big challenge at the Department of Homeland Security that's going to ask for all the best and most creative approaches that communities or states or entrepreneurs or students have thought about that helps to keep people more resilient during these times of heat. And I could probably go on and on, but it should suffice to say that we're going all out on heat, man, because it is a silent killer. And there are small things that we can do at the community and state level using the federal resources effectively to actually make a big difference in protecting people all across the United States.
When you talk about creating rules to protect workers from heat, especially those working outside, what do you think those might look like? I mean, how far do you think you can take those rules?
Well, we're thinking, you know, most importantly about outdoor laborers. Look, we're expecting that as usual, we're going to be building new infrastructure, but with the potential for Congress to give us more resources. We're talking about roads and bridges. We're talking about building electric vehicle infrastructure. I mean, there's a lot of work that's going to happen. There's human beings that have to do that work. And that means they have to be outdoors. We are talking about our agriculture community. We're talking about our construction workers. And I'd want to also mention that very often those laborers, the folks that work outdoors, come from Black and Brown communities. They often work in urban settings, which are heat islands, as many of us know. We're talking about our Indigenous communities. And so we actually have to establish standards that say, when should those workers be able to go in the shade and take a break? How much exposure should they have to heat before it becomes a problem to them, either outdoors or for workers indoors? And so we're going to actually establish standards like OSHA, our Occupational Safety and Health Administration, does, that is science-based, that looks at how much exposure our workers ought to have, how many breaks they have, how much they should be looking to refresh themselves with clean water and in cool spaces. So it's a good step. We want to set those standards. But we also want to make sure that at the community level, we think about the most creative approaches that cities have taken to actually build green spaces, to add trees so that those heat islands can be addressed, make more reflective surfaces on our roofs and other areas. We're going to go all out, and it's a learning moment, I think, for all of us, but it's one in which the federal government feels there's a tremendous opportunity to protect the health of our kids all the way up to seniors and advance some great community spirit working together to address this issue.
Are you anticipating pushback or opposition from the business community, from sort of the anti-regulatory community on this?
Well, so far, so good. We haven't heard a lot of squawking, but we haven't, you know, gotten into the meat of the rulemaking process yet. We're certainly not getting pushback from anyone on the challenge of heat stress right now. But, these workplace standards are never easy to get over the finish line. But we know what the science is telling us. If we base this on science and we do our work as we always try to do with outreach to the regulated community, in this case, our businesses and industries particularly that support outdoor workers, I think we will do just fine, because no one wants to bear the burden of their employees facing heat stress and the challenges associated with that.
Yeah, when you're trying to craft these rules and regulations, and you talked about trying to get the word out about this issue, how much of it is about trying to deal with the problem as it is now? And how much is trying to future-proof yourselves, understanding that the scientists continue to say that things are only going to get hotter, not so much get cooler?
I think it's both. You know, you can't pick one versus the other. Obviously, we think and we know that there's an immediate challenge that we're facing, where no matter what we do with buildings in the future, we're living with where we are now. So we have to focus on the communities most vulnerable. We have to move that quickly. But in the meantime, there is no question that we have to start looking at building standards, how you look at street design. But I think there's a lot of work to do in terms of how we're looking at the design of our spaces, our houses, our cities, our rural communities, and making sure we think about the new reality that we live in, and do the best we can, obviously, on reducing the kind of continued carbon emissions that are going to accelerate these challenges moving forward and exacerbate the kind of health damage that we might see.
All right. That is Gina McCarthy, White House National Climate Advisor. Gina, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I had a great time.